Morning. Well, it's a good morning for me anyway, me and one other fellow back there, amen. Proverbs chapter 31 this morning, and I'll read you the verse again from last week. We started talking about the law of kindness, trying to define what it is. We got about halfway through, so I believe we can finish up this morning. Proverbs chapter 31 and verse number 26, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, thank you, God, for your goodness, your mercy this morning. I ask you to meet with us. God, open your word to our hearts and minds. I pray, God, that you would mold us and make us, Lord, in your image as far as our spiritual lives are concerned. I pray, God, that you would help us, God, to see what our role is, what we ought to be for one another as Christians and for other men, God, that may not be saved. Pray that you'd help us there. And Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for everything that you do. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Amen. All right, now just for the sake of review for a few minutes, we'll go back and just give you a few definitions. Kindness means goodwill or benevolence. And of course, last week we also defined that word benevolence because that actually means something that we need to know here. Benevolence is a disposition. Kindness is not an emotion. In other words, it doesn't mean love. It's similar to love, but it doesn't mean love. Kindness is benevolence. It's goodwill. Goodwill and good are two different things. I hope you understand that, and we covered that a little bit last week. Kindness is a goodwill or benevolence, any act of benevolence which promotes the happiness or welfare of others. And then last week I did tell you that there's a relationship there to charity, and we will get into that today. Now, kindness is a description of a disposition. Remember, benevolence is a disposition to do good. Some people wouldn't care about doing good for somebody else if their life depended on it. It's that we call those people selfish. Me, 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 me. That's all they're interested in. Me, me. I've been around some preachers like that. And you say, hey, how you doing? What, you want to hear what I preached last week? No, not particularly. If I did, I'd have come heard you or something, amen, looked you up on the internet. And I don't mean that in any mean fashion. It's just that's what you hear when you, I did this, I did that, I did this, I did that. I don't care. I'm too busy being selfish my own self, amen. I did some stuff last week too. You didn't ask me about what I did last week. Why should I care what you did last week? Amen. Well, that's just the way that it is. A lot of people are selfish. Say amen to that. Amen. Amen. Say amen. Get you awake this morning. Amen. Say amen a little bit. Get you over your fears of contracting the disease. Amen. All over the country this morning, folks are going to be laying out of church in hopes that God will help them stay away from the coronavirus. That's exact opposite of biblical thinking. When we're thinking along the lines of biblical thinking, you get right with God. You get closer to God. And God said, where two or three are gathered together, he said, there I'll be in the midst. Amen. Amen. Safest place in the world you could be in a Bible-believing church. Now, if you showed up to a Catholic church this morning, which none of you did because obviously you're here, but if you showed up to a Catholic church, you might catch it. Amen. And if you do catch it here amongst us this morning, just tell the nurse at the hospital, I got mine at church. Amen. Ain't no use in being gloomy about it. Amen. Amen. Hey, you're welcome. I'd hate for you to sit through 45 minutes of Sunday school worried about something that you can't handle no way. You can't see them. If they get on you, they're going to get on you. You can't see them. Ain't nothing you can do about it. My wife was in here Friday night washing down walls. I said, them walls ain't got coronavirus. People got coronavirus. Wash people down. Somebody needs to be at the back door with a can of Lysol. Psh, give you a bath. Some of you need a bath anyway. Amen. At any rate, let's get on with this. That'd be beneficial for others. That's what we're talking about, a kindness. Amen. Kindness is a disposition. It's a description of a disposition or an actual act of kindness. Now, the difference between that, the disposition is, we read it in the book of Proverbs, the disposition is she has the law of kindness. An act of kindness is she follows the law. A lot of people know what the law is, or they know what a law is, but they don't. I know the speed limit, but I don't usually follow it. Amen. That's just a fact of life. I know what it is, but there is a great virtue in following the law that you know. In the book of Proverbs chapter 31, she has the law of kindness. Amen? Let me read again. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. You notice it didn't necessarily say that she was kind all the time, because we're not any of us perfection. Amen? None of us are perfect to that degree. But she at least knows what it is, and I'm sure by the description that she used it from time to time. Amen? And so also, we didn't just talk about the word kindness last week. We talked about the word kind, because you can see the word right in there. A lot of times in the English language, you can have a couple of words that look the same and sound the same or spelled the same, but don't have any relationship to one another. And if you just looked at one or two of the definitions of the word kind, then you may not find kindness in it. But there is actually one of the definitions of the word kind that fits very well. And it's a natural determination. And that determination goes right with your disposition. Men and animals of all sorts and kinds, bugs, you don't find termites and ants and spiders and roaches all living in the same nest. They get together with their kind. And you can take that for what it is. Some people probably go out hollering racist and stuff like that. I said nothing of the kind. I just said the same thing that's been said since man has been here, and that's birds of a feather flock together. And that's a kind. Man has a natural propensity to be kind, to do well for others who are like them. That's just the way that it is. Now, if you segregate that into white or black or red or yellow, then that's your problem. You're the one with the issue. But I do know this. I'm a Christian. Amen. Amen. And so I would be doing well to try to do well for other Christians. Amen. Also, I'm a man. I belong to the race of men. You know, they're teaching you in high school you're a bunch of animals. Man's not an animal. You say, how do you know? Because the Bible says that God created man. And then God created the beast of the field and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. Man and animal is not the same thing. Man is not an animal. Never has been an animal. He's trying to make an animal out of himself after being taught that he is one for so many years. But I am of the race of men, so it would be good for me, even though I am a Christian, to also remember that I am a man. Yeah. These people that you walking around out in the world, they're men. So this one has pink hair, and he didn't act like I'm acting. Yeah, but he's a man, and he's got himself mixed up and messed up into some snares of the devil, and it'd be well for you to treat him well. Because he's a man, remember that he's a man. He may not act like you, he may not think like you, he may not be the same color as you, but you ought to treat him with kindness because you are his kind. Amen? Does that make good sense? Now, if you're kind to the man, you find out he's a child molester, kick him in the shin, walk down the road. Amen. Amen. If you find out he's messing around with something he ought not be, and that's something that he ought not be messing around with, have an adverse effect on you or your children, hide from him, run from him, get away from him. If he follows you home, shoot him. Amen. Now that's the way to go about the thing. You can't throw a preconceived notion over folks. You can't do that. That turns out bad on 99% of the time, and it's unwise. All the time, it certainly is, because you can't judge a book by a cover, and you don't know what you're going to get. If you judge things just by race, you're ignorant. Amen. That's just the long and the short of it. Amen. Well, he says, the definition here says that kindness is a description, or it says that kindness is a goodwill. It's a benevolence. It's any act of benevolence which promotes the happiness and the welfare of others. I think we covered that pretty good last week. I told you that kindness is a responsibility. It's a responsibility. It's not an emotion. I told you that kindness, the law of kindness, you know, we talk about the law of God and the law of Moses and the law of man. A lot of times that deals with thou shalt do this or thou shalt not do this. The law of kindness is not thou shalt be nice. Nice is a different word. Nice, kind. Two different words. As Dr. Ruckman used to say, you know they're different because they're spelled differently. Amen? That's pretty simple logic right there. Sometimes I think that's what people didn't like about him. But at any rate, they're different things. Now, what I did not just now say is you don't have to be nice. We're not preaching a sermon on nice. And I don't want you to be confused about things because people, once you start talking about the law of kindness or being kind, people automatically think that you got to run around and be nice to everybody. And that's really where we left off last week. It's impossible to be nice to some people, and we'll give you a Bible for that because now the propensity from the pulpit is to say that you got to be nice to everybody and that nicety is somehow equals out to grace, which it does not, which it does not. If you want a real rude and crude definition of grace, grace is an ability that somebody has that hates your guts to be around you. Now that's real crude. That's real crude, right? But the Bible says God is angry at the wicked every day. And that's a good description of some of us, isn't it? Amen. You say, well, hate's a very strong word. I mean, Brother Mike, well, listen, the Bible says that God hates them that love violence. Amen. Well, that's just about every man in the room. How many of you like boxing? Amen. UFC, Bruce Willis movies. Clint Eastwood movies. Violence. Well, Brother Mike, I think the verse really means, no, now you're trying to explain it. I just told you what it said. Amen. He said he hates them that love violence. But he's merciful to you and he's dealt with you and been good to you. It's grace. Amen. Got awful quiet in here for some reason or another. Well, let's look at some scripture. Let's run through them right quick. It's impossible to be nice to everybody all the time. And again, it's not to say you shouldn't be. There's just some reasons why you shouldn't be in certain situations. So let's look at it. Titus chapter number 3. We might have read these last week, but we'll go through them really quickly here. Titus chapter 3 and verse number 10. A man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition, reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. Well, some folks you can't be nice to. Heretic. Somebody that's teaching a false doctrine that's a grievous false doctrine. He's not just wrong about one or two things. He's wrong about everything. Amen. Amen. That'd be like a moron, a Mormon or Jehovah's Witness, something like that. I think a lot of preachers really get involved in, I'm going to study up and I'm going to learn what all the Jehovah's Witness know and I'm going to learn what all, I don't try not to do that. I did try to do that at the first when I was a younger fella, and I'm going to learn what they learned. What you need to learn is the truth. The Lord told the children of Israel when they come into the promised land, he said, you don't get in there and learn about these people. You don't try to figure them out. You don't try to figure out what they know, what they think, how they worship, because you'll just learn their ways, and that'll corrupt you. And sure enough, they turned into a bunch of idolaters. And sometimes, you know, preachers get to, I want to study Satanism. And they become so, I don't even know what you'd call it, freaked out. That's what they are. They're freaked out. And they're so ultra, hyper, super spiritually minded that they're just no good. Now, if it was the Spirit of God, it'd be one thing. A preacher come by, If I said his name, you'd probably know him, but no use in jumping on him today and riding him. He's probably got enough problems. But he come by our church, and we had him preach. He called. He was a missionary going to somewhere. And it's funny how, you know, God mixes people up so bad. I mean, I don't even know how we trust God. God mixes them up so bad. One week you're called to missions, and one week you're an evangelist, and next week you're a pastor. I don't know what God's doing to you. But at any rate, this fella come through. I can understand. I can understand because this guy was messed up from the start. He calls, you know, blind faith. Yeah, come on in, present your ministry. And he comes in, and he preaches. And after church, he kept making references during his preaching. I said, I don't know. Well, after church, we go and have food, and he starts talking about stuff. It's like, devil's this, and devil's that, and demons this, and demons that, and devil's this, and devil's this. And pretty soon, at least about after like a minute and a half, I got tired of hearing about devils and demons and stuff like that. He said, yeah, brother, when I was over in Africa, I was studying these demons, and I was like, I'm done. I don't care nothing about that. I want to hear nothing about that. I ain't interested in knowing no demons. Amen. Amen. I just don't want to do that because, you know, that stuff turned you into a heretic. And carry a King James Bible under your arm. And I'm done with stuff like that. Brother Mike, did you call him back and try and encourage him? No, I ain't called him. I don't plan on calling him. Never going to call him. You call him. Amen. You said, what is that? That's kindness. He said, not very nice to him, but it's kindness. Keep my family away from that influence. Amen. That's a kindness. That's the benefit of my wife and my children. Amen. Sometimes I think my wife and my children ought to kick me out. I'm bad for them. Amen. You ever think that way? A lot of people don't think that way. It's just you, selfish. You ever thought about the danger you put your wife and kids in, or your husband and your siblings, with the stuff you dabble in, fool around with, mess with? The Bible says if you're a heretic, reject them. Reject it. Get you a little stamp right on their forehead. Reject it. See ya. Amen? You couldn't do that, though. Then they wouldn't let you be a Baptist anymore. Romans chapter 16. Let's look over there real fast. Romans chapter 16. So, well, you could pray for folks. You ever think of that? You ever think that there's a God in heaven that has more influence on men than you do? One that died on the cross for them? Over the course of the last several years, you and other churches might have heard me say a negative word about another preacher. But you know what I do for that? I pray for those preachers. There are some preachers that I wouldn't have come into the church down in Georgia because, quite frankly, I didn't want them to have access to the people. Crooks, criminals. But, you know, whenever I pray for them. God, help that man, because I don't want him to stand before the judgment seat in any worse condition than myself. The Bible says you ought to consider yourself. A lot of times when you write people off, you just write them off and never think about them again. You can't do that either. Amen? You say, what is that? It's a kindness for somebody else's benefit. You don't have to like somebody else's disposition or somebody else's character, but it'd still be a kindness if you went for that person that you don't like and asked God to help them. God, help that person. Help that preacher. Help that Sunday school teacher. Help that deacon. Help that person in my church that I don't like or care nothing about. Their personality doesn't gel with mine. But God, I want to see them stand before the judgment seat just as well as me. And we all assume that we're going to get top notch billing at the judgment seat. Well, I'm going to get all them crowns. You may be thinking wrong about that. Amen. You may be, but I tell you this, whatever crown that I get and whatever fault that I have, I know that other fellow wants the same crown, and he probably has the same faults. So when the thing is all said and done, the judgment seat is going to be a great equalizer, is it not? Amen. A lot of things to consider. A lot of things to consider. A lot of times you just hear a preacher say, be nice, or you hear a preacher say, stand for this or stand for that. A lot more stuff goes into life than just somebody's statement. Amen. Amen. In that sense, preaching can be one of the most dangerous things on the planet. Sure, hear one phrase and I'm going to stick with that for the rest of my life. Go be mean to everybody. That's not what's being said here either.
Amen.
Amen. I think you should understand that. Romans chapter 16, I think I told you. Romans 16 and verse number 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions. That's the word that Brother Allen uses that my wife doesn't care for. She'd just about crawl under the bench if you use the word schism. She hates it for some reason. It's like fingernails on the chalkboard for her. It means division. That's what the word means, division, that there be no divisions. Amen. He says, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Now, if one lady says she likes red curtains and the other lady says she likes green curtains, that's not something you get divided over in the church. Amen. If it comes to that, let's just take the curtains down. I grew up in a church that didn't have any curtains, and I'm kind of offended that our windows have curtains and blinds on them. It bothers me. No, it doesn't bother me. I could care less. Matter of fact, I just have noticed that there are some junk in the window because I don't care. I don't come to church to look at the windows. Does that make sense? Come to church to open your Bible and hear some preaching and hear some singing, hopefully good singing. Amen. But if not, we'll put up with it. Amen. Because it's church. Amen. Amen. See, there's some nicety. Person sings bad, pat them on the back. Tell them they did a good job. Send them a registered letter with no return address. Don't do that again. But pat them on the back face to face. Amen. Amen. But you see, there are, now I'm not going to go through the rest of these. Well, I will. Look in Romans chapter 1. We'll go through one more because this, is, I think, is pretty important. Romans chapter 1. Here's a good list of things. We're talking about people you can't really be nice to. Of course, you could be nice in a sense, but let's look in verse 29. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. You go be nice to them if you want to. The Bible says they're worthy of death. Read verse 31. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure, they be nice to them that do the same things. That's not for you. Amen? You find somebody that's got some of these characteristics, they're a fornicator, you say, hey, stop that.
Amen.
You know what's wrong with this country?
Amen.
You know what's wrong? When I was a boy, you could be walking through a grocery store doing something you weren't supposed to do, and some stranger would come up and say, hey, stop that.
Amen.
Not anymore. Now you got a little brat in a grocery store, and it's usually mine. People walk by and go, oh, ain't he cute? No, it ain't cute. Amen.
Amen.
And that kind of stuff turns into youth pastor can run off with little girl in the youth group, leave his wife behind, and idiot preachers call him in to minister to their congregation. No, sir. He said, well, don't you think we ought to have grace on them? No.
Amen.
No.
Amen.
No.
Amen.
No, no, no. You say, well, Brother Mike, grace. You know who deserves the grace in the situation? The fella's wife that he left.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
Doesn't that make sense?
Amen.
Doesn't that make sense over here?
Yes, sir.
It certainly does make sense. Go get the man's wife. Listen, you want to go hear him sing? Go get the man's wife and take her with you. See how well you can stand up and shout and say, oh, good job, brother, good job. Amen. In the Old Testament, you'd take a man like that out and stone him. Amen. In the New Testament, do you do that? That's grace. That's absolutely right. Congratulations, we don't get to beat you to death outside in the parking lot for leaving your wife. Grace don't mean trample over God's principles. God has principles. He said these kind of people right here were worthy of death. Can you pray for them? Absolutely. Can you keep from getting bitter? Absolutely. Of course, it'd be hard. If you're a preacher that cares about things that are going on, amen. But you can. But just accept anything that comes down the pike and call that being kind and watch how fast your church falls apart and lose its spiritual power and your prayers stop getting answered. Yeah. Next thing you know, you'll have split after split after split because all the factions that grow up against it or for it or undecided. And amen. Amen. There are churches closed today because of foolish stuff like that. Amen. Boy, I better move right along. I got to preach in there a little bit. Amen. 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 So it's very impossible to be nice to everybody for everything. Amen. Well, look. Let's look here. We quoted to you last week Romans chapter 12, as much as is possible. He said, live peaceable with all men. So you're part of the race of men. We're going to pick up kind of where we left off last week. And I would say this, if you're going to have a dividing line about who you're going to be nice to or even who you're going to be kind to, let the dividing line not be offenses toward you, but offenses toward God. Amen. I may not like everything that you do or I might not like everything that you say. But if you're not offensive towards God or God's doctrine or God's principles, then I don't really have no reason to disassociate myself with you. If you like red and I like black, or if you, like I say, these little differences that men have don't, you know, you like Honda and I like Harley or something like that, that's not a reason to fall out. I'm poor and you're rich, that's not a reason to have differences between one another or a barrier to kindness or even a barrier for being nice for that matter. Amen. Those are not the kind of things you ought to follow. But let the dividing line, let those things be offenses toward God. If you're going to be offensive to God, I can't really associate with you on that. But doesn't mean I hate you. It could be that you're the best of friends and somebody's offensive towards God, you may not be able to associate with them. Or even be nice to them. But you could always be kind. You could pray for them and ask God to help them. Maybe you could be a help to them. Maybe God use you to be a help to them in some way. Well, I wouldn't spend too much time over, you know, steaks and hamburgers and hot dogs. That fellowship has a way of breaking down the zeal to do right. Really does. Yes, sir. Really does. That's why the Bible says man calls divisions. You mark them. You don't even go to their house and sit down and eat with them. Don't even say Godspeed to them. We didn't read that verse, but it's in there. I tell you that much. Amen? But as much as is possible. We talked about that pretty good, didn't we? Absolutely. Now, I want to give you for the remainder of the sermon, I want to give you some instances in the Bible. Turn to Genesis chapter 20, and I want to show you some things that really tell you what kindness is. Genesis chapter 20. Genesis chapter 20 and verse 13. Genesis chapter 20 and verse 13. And it came to pass when God caused me to wander from my father's house that I said unto her, this is thy kindness which thou shalt show unto me at every place whither we shall come. Say of me, he is my brother. Let me read it again. And it came to pass when God caused me to wander from my father's house, that I said unto her, this is thy kindness which thou shalt show unto me at every place whither we shall come. Say of me, he is my brother. Now, this Abraham, when he got into a bad situation around a bad culture of people, he got with his wife and said, now, look, I want you to do me a kindness. This is going to be to my benefit. In other words, they're not going to kill me and take you. It was for his benefit. It was a kindness. Now this is only a, really it's only a half truth, but this lie Abraham considered was a kindness. Now you go on, you read about Abraham, you find out that his wife was actually his half sister. They had the same father and different mothers. You say, would you do that? No. No, absolutely not. So in one particular in 10 million, I'm better than Abraham. But that's the extent of it. Abraham was a great man. Abraham was a great man of faith. But listen, in this, he said, it'd be kindness. It would be a kindness if you would lie for me. Because once he married her, it was his wife. And the insinuation of the thing was, we're not married. That's the insinuation of the thing. And Abraham even tried to use it. He goes, oh, really, it is. It is true, really, because, you know, well, it's too late to explain that. You made it look like she was your full-fledged sister. It was a lie. And Abraham said, what was it? It was a kindness. It wasn't being nice. It was kindness because it benefited. It, in a sense, he was thinking it was keeping him alive. And his emphasis was on it. It's a kindness. It's a kindness. Now, let's turn real quick because I want to cover all these in the book of Ruth. I would say that, but I better not. So, one thing you got to learn as a preacher is not to say everything that comes into your mind. You can't get in trouble that way. Book of Ruth, chapter number 3. Oh, you'll love this one. Well, let's start reading in verse number 8. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. Now, I think everybody here in Sunday school understands the story of Ruth. And Ruth was with her mother-in-law. Her husband had died. And she had traveled back into Israel with her mother-in-law, and she done found a fella that she likes here. We put it in that simple terms, amen? And so this is supposed to be her laying down at his feet, supposed to be a sign that she's submitting herself to him, and the interest there. It'd be like you send a Valentine. It's an indication, amen? If you ever wake up one night and there's a lady laying down at your feet, I reckon she likes you, amen? Well, here we go. Like I say, be careful. Verse number 8, came to pass at midnight, the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. And he said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning. See, at the beginning, she had a chance to go back to her own people. She had a chance to go do what she wanted to do. She was free from the law of her husband. All she had left was her mother-in-law. And her kindness was, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to stay with you. I'm going to try to be a benefit to you. Not my own pleasure. Not my own will, but I'm going to stay with you for your benefit. Boaz said that was a kindness. But he said, this last kindness that you've done is better than the kindness you've done before. Let's see what it is. He said, that for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. You know what he's saying here to this woman? He says, look, you're a young lady. You could have went and got yourself a young man. What he sees in this woman, she's already showed kindness to her mother-in-law. She's already showed great wisdom. She's already showed great stability. She's already showed all these great virtues. She's a strong woman, just like over in Proverbs chapter 31. You know what? Remember I told you that part of the definition of kindness had to do with kind? She could have went and got herself a young man, a poor one, a rich one. To some girls, it just don't matter. Yeah. Amen? To some boys, it just don't matter what kind of girl they get. Yeah. Just don't matter. But he said, this was a great kindness because you have not chosen. He said, what you've done, you've chosen a stable man. Wouldn't you say that was true about Boaz? He said, you've chosen a wise man. Wouldn't you say that was true about Boaz? Now listen, this was a match made right here because they were two people of the same kind. They weren't just looking for a wedding. They were looking for the right kind. And he said, you show great responsibility in staying with your mother-in-law, but this kindness is much better than that. Much better. Much better. Amen. That's a pretty good lesson, I thought, in that. Amen. Now, Psalm chapter 141. Psalm chapter 141. Psalm 141. Start reading in verse number 1. Lord, I cry unto thee. Make haste unto me. Give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity. And let me not eat of their dainties. Let the righteous smite me. It shall be a kindness. And let him reprove me. It shall be as excellent oil, which shall not break my head. For yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities. Let the righteous smite me, it shall be a kindness, and let him reprove me, it shall be an excellent oil. Hard, straight, in your face, punching the nose preaching is kind. How you like that? I'll just stand here and wait for all the apologies from all the idiots who ever said that hard preaching is legalistic. It's not. It's kindness. It's kindness. It's kindness. If you need a chapter and verse for it, yonder it is. Right yonder it is. Amen. And we could just put it like this for the sake of the Sunday school class so we get some learning for it. Discipline is kindness. You say, why? Because it not only corrects the problem that they have presently, but it sets people on a course for a stable future. That's what discipline does. Now, we live in a time when discipline is very... It's a virtue that's not often seen. It's few and far between. Disciplined people are few and far between. That's why they're getting in fights at the grocery store over toilet paper right now. What is the problem? Undiscipline. Amen. Verbal discipline and physical discipline ensure the next generation has a stable environment. Amen. But what you hear now instead of discipline is tolerance.
Yeah, that's right.
In many cases, not every case, but tolerance is demonic.
Amen.
In many cases, tolerance is demonic. When you tolerate people like Michael Jackson and Marilyn Manson, that's demonic.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. The fact that you would put up with somebody like that shows demonic influence.
Amen.
It certainly does. Why? Because the degeneration of moral values that comes with it. Once you demoralize it, how's your next generation going to stand when anything goes?
That's right.
It's not a possibility. It's not a possibility. Amen? Amen. Proverbs 19:22. Real quick. We got to move real quick. Proverbs 19 and verse number 22. Now, I'm sorry, fellas, but this is one of the verses, and it has to be said. The desire of a man, we're just going to pretend like women are included here. The scripture doesn't say that, but we will just for the sake of our own feelings. Amen? The desire of a man is his kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. That's a great verse and a good verse, but the desire of a man is his kindness. The desire. Now, that just means simply this. A beneficial act done towards you probably... if it's a man, that's what the verse says, comes from some desire of his own for you to be kind to him. In other words, kindness a lot of times is selfish. When you put that word kind in there, you're usually being kind to people who can be kind back to you. And if you think about it, that's the whole essence of kind. If we're the same kind and I'm nice to you, I expect you to be nice back to me. The Bible even says that. He says a man that will have friends must show himself friendly. Well, it makes perfect sense. Amen? And if somebody is kind to you, you can't say, well, he's just being nice because he's selfish. He wants something in return. Well, don't you? Makes sense, doesn't it? Makes sense. Wouldn't it be odd or funny or whatever? You use whatever words you want to. I need to use less words. I only got 10 minutes. I've really actually only 5 minutes left. Wouldn't it be strange for these people? It's like, well, they only want something for themselves. You know, like people say, preachers, all they want is money. There's a guy at my work that makes fun of the taking up offerings almost every week. He says something about it. Of course, he never said anything about paying his Verizon bill or anything like that. But he's always making jokes about that kind of stuff. But wouldn't it be funny once they get to the judgment and find out that they were actually the one that was selfish? Oh, that church, all they do is take up offerings. Why you got a problem with giving offerings? Because you're selfish.
Yeah. Amen.
That person's only nice to me, so I'll be nice back to them. What kind of problem do you have with being nice to them?
Amen.
You are the same kind. You're a person. They're a person. They need just as much kindness as you do. They need just as much benefit as you do. Stop living on a one-way street. Amen? Amen. But I did think it was interesting that it said men do that. Men do it.
Amen.
Did you know that God, when God made man and woman, he didn't make them equal? God made a man, then what did he make? A helpmate. Women are custom built to be helpers. You know what God made man for? To subdue the garden. Men are custom built subduers. Breakers. They break stuff. They try to overcome stuff. They see a machine, a perfectly good machine, they got to take it apart and see what makes it work. Then it never works again. Amen. Well, that's what God made men for. Not to break stuff, but to make stuff, subdue stuff. Well, just keep that in mind. You may not believe that, but keep it in mind. Now let's look at this. 1 Timothy chapter 1. I really wanted to cover 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, because kindness is one of the final, not the first, but one of the final building blocks to maturity in your Christian life. But you can look that up for yourself. 2 Peter chapter 1, 7 talks about kindness. He said, if you have these things, you'll never fall. So you can look that up on your own time. 1 Timothy chapter 1. I really can't afford to leave this one out, so let me give it to you quickly. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 3. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 3. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. So charge them that they don't do this. Verse 4, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edification which is in faith. So do. Now the end of the commandment, what's the commandment? That you charge some that they teach no other doctrine. That you don't give heed to fables. Not to minister question, but to minister godly edifying. That's the commandment. Now look, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart. And what is charity but love that benefits others? It's not just the benefit of others. That it's not just an act that benefits, but charity is a love that benefits others. It's a love for somebody else's sake. As I said last week, I love chocolate. That's not charity.
Amen.
That's selfish, amen?
Amen?
Well, listen, when you love somebody to their benefit, that you're concerned with their benefit, well, that's charity. And Paul says, I'm leaving you here to preach. I'm leaving you here to teach. I'm leaving you here to make sure that no problems take place in this body. He said, but the end of that commandment is charity out of a pure heart. It's the law of kindness. It's knowing what it is. It's knowing what it is and putting it into practice. It's not just knowing what it is. It's knowing what it is and putting it into practice. Then that makes you, whether you're a pastor or not, whether you're a preacher or not, whether you're a Sunday school teacher, a pastor, a missionary or not, you're a minister. Because you're benefiting others through acts of kindness, acts that benefit them. Amen? All right. Lord, thank you for your goodness and for your grace. Pray you take these truths, help us with them. Lord, we have a selfish streak in us. I'd be willing to admit that for myself. And oftentimes we only think about ourselves. I pray you'd help us with that. And as Christians, that we'd not only know what the law of kindness is, but we would put that into practice. And we'll thank you and praise you. God, help us to see and to know and to understand. Give us the discernment about how to deal with others, when to fully commit ourselves and when to draw back. And Lord, I believe you will give us that. I believe you'll even protect us when we go overboard from time to time with people that maybe we shouldn't associate with just for the sense of safety. And Lord, I know I've got myself into situations many times where I found myself in great danger because I allowed myself to associate with somebody. Lord, we don't want to disassociate ourselves because of race or any such thing as that, anything such foolish as that. But Lord, sometimes it's very dangerous to associate ourselves with certain folks and at certain times. And Lord, I pray you'd give us the wisdom to know the difference, and we'll thank you and praise you. And Lord, I believe through that we'll be able ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace and your leadership. And all, for all these things, we thank you very much. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, take a little break.